Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. In 2020, John Blangero, a.k.a. Sun King Rising, released his solo album Delta Tales and coined it the rebirth of classic Southern rock and soul. This fall of 2022, he released his second album, Signs and Wonders, and coined it the new wave of Southern rock and soul. Both feature that strong Southern flavor, reminiscent of the 70s. John joins me here on this edition of Americana Music Profiles to talk about this new sound and the new album. John, hi, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Greg. Jeez, it's great to join you today again.
It is. I was looking back through my notes, and it's been about a year, pretty close to about the same time that we talked last year. And boy, it seems like yesterday almost.
Glad. Well, a lot has happened, so that's good.
Oh my gosh, it just, you know, maybe it's the getting older thing. Maybe it's the pandemic thing. I don't know. It just seems like the clock has it moves faster than it used to. So I don't know what that's all about.
A bit of both, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. But so anybody listening who would like to go back and listen to that, it's around about December of 2021 that we got together and did this and did kind of a deep dive on your career. But for those folks who didn't get to hear that, or did and forgot, or may not get a chance to go back and listen to it, give me just a little bit of history on how you got started. I think I read that it was the piano at five that kind of kicked your musical endeavors off.
It was the piano and hymns at age five. Started lessons at age five. We had a spinet piano in the house, and my mom really wanted me to be able to play the piano so I could accompany them in hymns and whatnot. And so I did that for several years and got all the rudiments in. But like I say, it was my piano teacher only wanted me to play hymns, and she would sing in my ear. So it was made for an interesting, you know, Wednesday evening.
Yeah.
But I'd always heard a lot of hymns. I mean, my mother, of course, comes from a Southern family. Although I lived outside of Pittsburgh, we lived outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, but my mother's side were Primitive Baptist, and I don't know if you know that tradition, but it's where sacred harp, vocal singing.
Yeah.
So I've been around that also. So I guess that's why, you know, I got quite a few gospel influences in my music these days, and I guess it comes from back then. Of course, after that, I rebelled and moved towards rock and roll. I didn't play piano for quite a while there. I was a front man, lead singer, and then I decided bringing keyboards back in, and now I'm very, very focused on keyboards. And this last album has brought my piano up to the front more so than my debut album.
Yeah. Well, we definitely want to talk about that here in just a little bit. And I listened to some of the cuts and your video, and you're right, you can really hear that piano. But I love that piano. It seems to have disappeared from music in more recent years. So I appreciate the fact that you've reinserted that into what you're doing. So you kind of branched off a bit. You said you rebelled, and at some point
adopted a moniker that you perform under, Sun King Rising. Where did that come from?
Yeah, so that actually starts from my other career and my day job, as people call them, is I am a genetic scientist. I am a professor in the School of Medicine in the University of Texas, Rio Grande Valley.
Wow,
and,
cool.
And I've been doing that for many years, and I'm kind of a flamboyant, you know, dresser and speaker. I have a noticeable look with my hair and whatnot and my lion's mane. And as a speaker, scientific speaker, people started to call me the Sun King because there was a resemblance to the great French Sun King.
Yeah, yeah, cool.
And it just stuck, you know, and it stuck. And so then when I was looking around for something to call the project, it started off as the Sun King Reborn. But when I signed with the Peacock Sunrise record label, they thought, you know, maybe didn't sound quite as cool. So they got me to change it to Sun King Rising. And I'm really glad they did, because it just fits. And basically it's a solo project with, you know, I have a band around it, but it's basically, fits me. And, so now, yes, I go by Sun King Rising.
So you took a hiatus, teaching, and it, like 2018, 19, somewhere in there, decided to re-engage your music career. What brought you back?
Yeah, it was a bit earlier than that. I was living in San Antonio and working in San Antonio for many years. And that was when I was really making my name scientifically. I've never done much teaching, actually. It's all pure research.
You know, okay.
Basically finding genes for diseases like heart disease and diabetes and various psychiatric diseases.
Yeah.
But I something was missing. I was working too hard, and I decided I really need to get back into some music. So I built a little studio, and I started writing songs again. And then I decided that what I'm really missing, playing live with people. I got into the blues scene, you know, and I started playing with a blues band, you know, just, you know, standards. And I wasn't doing any originals live, and rock, of course, you know. And that got me back into remembering how much fun it is to play off other musicians and whatnot.
Yeah.
And it also helped my writing, and certainly helped my playing get back into some form of decency. And it was fun because, you know, when you're playing a blues band, I played a lot of piano, but I also got to play, you know, organ, and that's fun. So that got me back into kind of performance and just remembering how good it makes you feel when you're, you know, basically making art with other individuals.
Mm-hmm.
But then I got back then I really started to write songs seriously, and I was doing some demos, and somehow I had a friend who I knew had a record company, but it was a prog rock, you know, progressive rock.
Yeah,
company.
Yeah.
And I had about 100 artists or something on it. And he found my stuff and he listened to it and he said, "Man, this is great. You got to do." I also have a progressive rock project that has been put on the back burner, and that was kind of what I was talking about. But he listened to my solo stuff and said, "Wow, you know, we've got to do this." And he actually spun off of his main label. He spun this Peacock Sunrise Records imprint off, and I think now he has about 10 artists or so on it.
Oh, cool.
For a more Americana rootsy thing.
Yeah.
And that's how it started. And then I decided that, you know, I didn't want to put out a semi-professional thing. I wanted it to be total pro. And that's why I decided I need to get a real producer, and we need to do this thing right.
Mm-hmm.
And do it completely organically, real musicians, best when they're playing together in the same room. But with the first album and COVID, that was difficult, so we had less of that. But with this new album, always, you know, there are people in the same room, except for my vocals generally, and we took it from there. And having a, as I say, though, having a producer, and my producer for both albums is a guy named Ace Acker. Steve Acker.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he was in the 70s band Law that had some success. And,
yeah.
and he's just great at helping these, you know, filter through the songs and coming up with cool arrangements for them. And yeah. whatnot.
So that first album, and that's the one that we talked about 12 months ago, was Delta Tales. And you kind of.
That's right.
Labeled that the rebirth of classic Southern rock and soul. And so the new one that you're talking about, Signs and Wonders, is that out yet or on the way?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it came out on October 1st.
Okay.
And we're up over 100,000 streams, I think, and on Spotify for it. And the single, the first single out of that album is something called Number 6 Magnolia Avenue. And it's doing quite well.
Yeah.
We released an official video on it.
Yeah. I just watched that this morning. That's really cool. I mean, it's a really full, how many musicians did you have putting that together?
Yeah. So we did, you know, I like horns, right?
Yeah.
So
I really could hear the
horn. We had a horn section and we have backup singers. Really, to reproduce Sun King Rising music, it takes, you know, 10 people on stage. So, which is, of course, a big difficulty for,
yeah.
for well, being able to play out live. Yeah.
I read where you were intending to get a tour together, a band together, and get out on the road with this material. Are you going to be able to get that many folks together to reproduce this live?
Everybody who played is super happy to reproduce it live. So
wow, that's cool.
The key will be just, you know, being able to afford it. Because frankly,
yeah.
that big a group pretty much limits you to kind of festival situations and
sure.
big stages and whatnot.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I could play some of these songs. I could strip them down and play them in a trio or even solo. I've done some, but it's just not the same. You know, when you get the power of the horn section behind you, that's which is just, I've always been into that muscle shoals and stacks
yeah,
sound and
yeah,
whatnot. So,
yeah,
and
yeah.
I think, you know, Number 6 Magnolia Avenue definitely has some of that going.
Oh
on,
yeah,
you know?
For sure. Yeah. It's get that real big, 70s, almost pre-progressive rock, where you've got that full sound.
Oh, yeah.
Feel. Yeah, no, yeah, I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I wanted to sound like a single from about 68. That was what I was going.
Yeah,
with, you know?
Yeah. Well, you hit it pretty good, man. Yeah, that's cool. And how is the two records different? Are they?
Well, so Delta Tales was kind of. I'd written those songs over a longer period of time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So some of those songs were as old as 15 years.
Mm, okay.
Others were written during the recording, you know, so it covered a broad period of time. But then I started, as we were recording, I started to become very inspired. And the newer songs that I wrote on that were things like Milkweed and Thistle and Beneath the Southern Sun. And those are basically, you know, my favorite songs on the album.
Mm-hmm.
And then right at the end of recording, before we did, I wrote a song and I just got inspired, and it was called Three Will and China Blue. And we put that out as a single.
Mm.
And that did very well. And that was really and it had great horns and whatnot, really the area that, you know, that was how I wanted to move. It was more in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up actually re-releasing Delta Tales with Free Will and China Blue on it. So there are,
oh, okay.
there, the record company went ahead and did a re-release and included the track that was originally a digital extra,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
that I wrote at the last moment, right before, you know, it was literally written while the CD was being pressed.
Okay.
You know,
wow.
we still do physical media. So,
yeah, good. That's good.
And so like Free Will and China Blue and Milkweed and Thistle are kind of indicative of where I was heading for Signs and Wonders. So Signs and Wonders is a new album, and it has, it's 10 original songs. And the first, you know, I really wrote it with the concept that this would be an LP, you know. So
yeah.
I really wrote it as so that the two sides hang together. So it's another concept album in a sense, because it's thematically coherent and kind of tells a bunch of stories that are kind of related. And the first side is really my Southern Soul side, and that's where you get all the powerful horn sections and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then the second side's a little bit, you know, a little bit more rocky, a little bit more Southern rock thrown in, a little bit of country also at
yeah.
the end.
Yeah.
So it's that's how I laid it out, and then, you know, it was an absolute blast. So the second side, starting with She Was a Blonde, that's the sixth track, I guess.
Uh-huh.
You start to hear the guitars more.
Yeah.
You
know? Okay. Are you able to get a sense of what kind of audience is tracking with you? Do you have you interacted with them to know demographically and
yeah, what, it's what? It's really interesting. I gotta say, you know, so from our Facebook side, it was we have a lot of people from all around the world, and we have we can see that we're starting to get some areas of where people are really picking up on us, like Italy and UK and Brazil, interestingly enough.
Oh, cool.
When we started all the Spotify stuff, then the audience started to get substantially younger also, so which I just think is great.
Uh-huh.
You know, the word
yeah.
that people who don't know this kind of music really as their, you know, the stuff that they grew up with are getting into it.
Yeah.
So I'd say we're still probably best known in the UK and in Europe, and now but our Spotify streams have definitely picked up, and we're getting more and more US listeners.
Yeah.
So it's cool. Kind of all over the map. I'm surprised.
Yeah.
You know, I thought maybe we would be limited to people of an age that we might say, but that's not the case.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, it's cool to see the younger generation discover the 70s music almost for the first time in their life. I mean, a lot of them weren't even alive when that stuff was being made, which is hard to say. Realizing that I grew up with the 70s music is the, you know, the themes of and the anthems of the life that we live. But yeah, and then to realize that there's artists like yourself that are making new music in that same style. So it's cool to realize that there's a new life for that kind of sound.
And with the same sensibilities too.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's very organic.
Yeah.
You know, there are no, we don't use studio tricks. We don't use any kind of auto tune, right?
Yeah.
It's real players. And so I think that I really want my albums to sound like, you know, this is very retro, but this is what makes me happy.
Uh-huh.
And I want them to sound like lost albums from that period.
Yeah.
You know? And
yeah.
I think we really did a good job on Signs and Wonders for that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's cool. So do you have some dates scheduled, tours? Have you, what are you pushing
no,
into for 23?
At this point, we you know, we just got the album out, and really now with two albums worth of material, that gives us more potential also.
Right.
So no, we haven't taken any dates yet. There's some talk of potentially we might do something local around Pittsburgh that we know we could get a good crowd for, just to like kick the wheels and see how we're gonna, you know, do it, you know.
Yeah.
And so no, we're still talking with European festival agents now.
Okay, you know? So taking it overseas.
That's where most of the interest has been so far, but
yeah.
We're not adverse at all to doing, you know, it'd be great to stay close to home and to make it easy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We haven't actively gone out and sought out, and we haven't signed with any American booking agents yet.
Right.
So
okay.
If anybody's listening and they want to give me a shout, that'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. how far ahead are you looking as far as the creative side? Do you have some new stuff in the works for, you know,
yeah, I've got the next Yeah, I've been writing the next album also. Yeah. So it's, I think I've got about, they still have to be demoed, but I think I have 8 good songs in hand, and we have 1 great song left over from Signs and Wonders that we just didn't have the time to finish. And so I think we're pretty close to starting that process.
Okay.
To start the next album.
Yeah.
Although you're never sure, you know, cause you get, you know, I'll get excited and I'll knock out a song and it'll bounce something else that was scheduled to be on. So
we'll see.
But I think we'll start. I just wrote a Christmas song actually. And I realized that like, I'm going to have to keep this around for next year because there's no way we can put this out in time.
Yeah, it's just around the corner. It's hard to believe. So,
of course, that's the only time you get inspired to write them, right?
So, right. That's true. That's true. Yeah. Yeah. So if folks want to get the latest record or Signs and Wonders or go back and listen to the previous one, what's the best way to get in touch? How do you like to communicate with your audience?
Well, you can get them anywhere. You know, so they stream everywhere. They can be purchased digitally at all the usual places. We prefer Bandcamp. If you go on to Bandcamp and do a search for Sun King Rising, you'll find both albums. You can get the physical copies, order vinyl, order CDs, and you get a digital copy when you get that also. So,
okay.
And that's just because Bandcamp has the best deal for independent record labels and independent musicians.
Yeah.
So we prefer it that way, but, you know, we just want people to listen and, you know, go on to all the streaming services and, you know, and put it on a loop, you know, throughout the day. That'd be great.
That's cool. Well, thank you, John. It's been good reconnecting and catching up. And, I love the direction with the new stuff. So I hope it really takes off for you guys. And I hope you get to get out and get on tour with it, too. That would be really cool.
I think we're about to hit our first 1,000,000 Spotify spins. So I think we have a few people who are listening these days.
Yeah, man, that's cool.
We're happy.
Yeah, good. Good. Well, thank you.
I look forward to coming back and talking again with you maybe when I get the next one.
Absolutely. Love to do it, for sure. Thanks, John.
Thank you, Greg. Have a great one.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Frenino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.